ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, I'm Patricia Carvelis. I'm the host of the ABC's podcast Politics Now, where I'm joined by the sharpest political journalists at the ABC to bring you the big stories you need to know.
You'll hear analysis of the week that was in politics with me, Fran Kelly, joining PK for the party room.
And on Insiders on Background, join me, David Spears, as I zoom in on one big story and a key voice behind it, diving deeper into the policies, laws and people shaping our landscape.
All in the Politics Now feed. Search Politics Now on ABC Listen and hit follow so you never miss an episode.
Will the war in Iran and the chaos that comes with it trigger China to invade Taiwan? It's a question raising its head again, especially after Donald Trump's recent visit to Beijing. Today, Zamir Puri, visiting lecturer in war studies at King's College London, on President Xi Jinping's warning to Trump and whether the Chinese are ready for war. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily.
Can China and the United States overcome the so-called Thucydides trap and create a new paradigm of major country relations? Can we meet global challenges together? Can we build a bright future together? These are the questions vital to history, to the world, and to the people.
Samir, when Donald Trump went to China, very early on during the visit, the Chinese president, Xi Jinping, had a warning. Beware, he told Donald Trump, of the Thucydides trap, which every historian was like, oh yeah, that, and everyone else had to Google.
Yes, and I think everybody else would struggle to spell it as well without a bit of a prompt. So Thucydides is an ancient Greek historian. And he wrote about the war that devastated the two leading city-states of classical Greece 2.5 millennia ago. So I suppose the first question is, how on earth is that relevant?
Yes.
But the basic thesis is very simple. It was the rise of Athens and the fear that this instilled in Sparta that made war inevitable. So in other words, when that's being applied to USA-China, it's the rise of China in the place of Athens, and it's the fear this instills in the USA in the place of Sparta.
Okay, so the theory is that when a rising power threatens an established one, then war is very likely.
Yeah, and the threat is actually from not even something they've done, it's just the fact of their rise. And that's a book written by an American political scientist called Graham Allison called Destined for War. He sort of explores this theory. It's quite a recent book. And he basically says, can the USA and China avoid something that happens in history quite a lot? Is when one big power is coming up, that it provokes a war, even inadvertently, with the sitting incumbent.
But President Xi, he's saying that China is a great power and that it can live peacefully alongside the United States if the United States stays out of the way when it comes to Taiwan. And if it doesn't, Samir, in President Xi's words, an extremely dangerous situation will arise.
And he's repeated this point about Taiwan, President Xi, because he realizes that Donald Trump and the people around him are quite erratic. And I think almost it doesn't need to be said, but I think for Donald Trump it does need to be said, given the way he's bungled himself into the war in the Middle East. Not that he'd do the same in Taiwan, but that extremely dangerous situation that she has warned about has been in extremely dangerous situations since 1949. And it's been through many evolutions, but it's a reminder to Donald Trump that there are some things that you cannot just fix overnight, that you cannot threaten your way to a resolution. This is one of those ones in which it's a very delicately balanced seesaw and, you know, don't tip it one way or the other.
Yeah, all right. So it was a pretty blunt warning from the Chinese president. And on the way home on Air Force One, Donald Trump reveals that the president had directly asked him if the US would defend Taiwan in a war. And well, Donald Trump was non-committal.
I don't want to say. I'm not going to say that. There's only one person that knows that. You know who it is? Me. I'm the only person. That question was asked to me today by President Xi. I said, I don't talk about those.
He asked you today.
Yeah, he was also relatively scripted when he spoke in the Great Hall of the People in Beijing. He didn't seem to go off piste too much. I think even he realizes that his sort of shoot from the hip style of talking doesn't really work in managing this absolutely critical relationship with China. I think Xi's concern is really a legacy from the Biden administration, where Joe Biden had quite enthusiastically said that the USA would defend Taiwan if China attacked. Whereas the whole balance has been maintained for decades now, you know, really, especially since the 1970s, when the current balance was more or less set by the USA being, you know, sort of purposefully ambiguous about Taiwan. So you leave that ambiguity floating, in which China has got this claim to Taiwan as part of its own. Taiwan has de facto independence. It can sort of set its own foreign policy, economic policy, all the rest of it. But it doesn't have sort of legal sovereignty. It doesn't have embassies from the UK or Australia. It doesn't have that sort of recognition with other sovereign states. So everybody just kind of agrees to disagree over Taiwan's ultimate status. And so, you know, life kind of ticks on. And I think that's really where Xi's warning is coming from, is, you know, do you realize how delicate this situation actually is? And to be fair to Donald Trump, he has reacted, I think, in a way that will mean that the Chinese are reasonably happy. It's certainly less of a reaction than Joe Biden being more enthusiastic, saying, yes, we would defend them if there's ever a war with China. And it's certainly better than the way Trump has spoken about Iran and the Middle East, which is, you know, in very absolute terms rather than, you know, living with ambiguity, which is a challenge.
Yeah, as you say, Joe Biden, he did come very close to confirming that, in fact, yes, the US would defend Taiwan during an interview on CBS.
So unlike Ukraine, to be clear, sir, US forces, US men and women, would defend Taiwan in the event of a Chinese invasion?
Yes.
The White House did try to clarify that later, but is the thought that, yes, America would defend Taiwan?
This is the strangest thing about deterrence, because Indo-Pacific security for the USA and Taiwanese security in particular is all about deterrence. It's all about creating the sense that the American armed forces, the Navy and Air Force especially, would be able to fly in at a moment's notice and sail in and actively help Taiwan defend itself if China ever really launched an attack. Now, the whole thing is predicated on never wanting to actually do that, but having your posture as credible enough that the Chinese believe that you would. So then, to answer your question specifically, sadly, there actually is no answer, because the deterrence credibility relies on the notion that, yes, the US is at war, but there's nobody in the USA that actually wants to go to war over Taiwan to defend China. And as, you know, the USA is finding with its war of choice in the Middle East, it's not a given that the US public would go along with all of this.
So, Samir, let's consider now then the Chinese president's ambitions when it comes to Taiwan and what Taiwan is asking for. Now, during this trip to China, the matter of US weapons sales to Taiwan also featured. So where is that up to?
So the USA is the biggest security guarantor to Taiwan, bar none. Without the USA's material military assistance to Taiwan, Taiwan's ability to defend itself, which is already difficult given that it's a minnow standing next to this giant mainland China, would be totally non-existent. But the really recent development is the Trump administration approving $11 billion of arms sales for Taiwan in December. There is a second big arms sale bill that is not yet approved, but it's sort of in the draft stages, and of course Taiwan will want that, and it might be even bigger than the 11 billion of the one in December. The extent to which that is bargained away with Xi Jinping over other concessions, other ways of easing the US-China relationship over the head of Taiwan is absolutely anxiety-inducing to Taiwan. But you can just see how delicate all of this actually is in terms of the cross-cutting relationships.
What about the arms sales to Taiwan?
I'll make a determination over the next fairly short period.
You're not necessarily going to go ahead. It was your proposal.
I'm going to make a determination.
Taiwan's president, he has made it clear, hasn't he, that Taiwan will not be giving up its sovereignty.
Yes, that's right. So William Lai, Taiwan's president, again, like all Taiwanese presidents, has got to, you know, tread this very fine line between Taiwan's own pride and its own, you know, its own success and living between these two giants, the USA and China. But then Donald Trump has rolled back from one thing, which is he's very clearly said he would never want Taiwan to officially declare independence,
yes.
Which is that's the ultimate red line for the Chinese, which is, OK, we've got this ambiguous situation where the Taiwanese basically act like a sort of a sovereign independent state, but they're not really. OK, well, we're living with that for decades. If the Taiwanese ever, you know, sort of metaphorically or literally raised their flag and said, we are now an independent sovereign state, we can now have embassies from, you know, all the countries of the world, that is widely understood as being a potential trigger for invasion by the Chinese. They would invade to prevent that from happening because they can live with the ambiguity, but they can't live with the absolute declaration of independence. And off the back of Trump's comments around this trip, Trump appears to agree. He doesn't want the Taiwanese to declare independence. But to be fair, neither do most of the Taiwanese either. They're happy to live their lives with this ambiguous situation. So happy. I think they appreciate that the costs of going for full a declaration of independence are prohibitive.
Yeah. Donald Trump was pushed on that issue of independence again during that Fox News interview.
Should the people of Taiwan feel more or less secure after your meetings with President Xi?
Neutral.
Has the policy changed at all?
No, nothing's
US
changed.
U.S. policy.
No, nothing's changed. I will say this. I'm not looking to have somebody go independent and, you know, we're supposed to travel 9,500 miles to fight a war. I'm not looking for that.
Now, as Donald Trump points out, President Xi feels very strongly about Taiwan and clearly wants unification. What sort of timeline then do you think we should be looking at?
Right. Well, you know, the question you've asked is probably one of the most critical questions in geopolitics and Asian stability and the future of the world that there is, almost bar none. Nobody knows. A little while ago, the US Indo-Pacific Command put out this point that they thought the Chinese military had been internally instructed to be ready by 2027. That, I think, is become misconstrued as they might invade in 2027. Not at all. It means that by an internal assessment, the Chinese, according to the Americans, that the Chinese would want to be militarily ready. Now, having said that, I think there's a question about Xi Jinping's personal legacy that hangs around this. He doesn't have a term limit now. He can continue to serve as the leader of China for some time. And he does not seem to be somebody who is in a panicked hurry, very different to Vladimir Putin and Ukraine. The big warning sign, of course, is that the Chinese ran a particularly noteworthy military exercise in and around Taiwan in 2025. And I think that was of a scale that makes people look at it and think, well, is this a rehearsal? Is China flexing its muscle? Is China showing that it now has greater naval and air capability compared to 10, 15 years ago? So the warning signs, they are flashing, maybe not red, but they're flashing amber. But they could flash amber indefinitely. Because remember, and this is, I think, where it's really important, especially for younger listeners to really, really have this point, which is this has been an ambiguous situation since 1949. And the current sort of setup with the way the US supports Taiwan has more or less been in place since the early 70s. And it's waxed and waned in terms of the hazard lights. But I think, yes, China's stature is growing. And I think that's where the principal concern comes, is China's stature could grow to a point in which a more hot-headed successor to Xi Jinping or something happens where China decides that this is something that it is absolutely compelled to do in very short order.
And when that does happen, just describe for me how dangerous it would be for the world if the United States or nations like Australia even were to enter a war.
Very important you mentioned Australia. I'd also mention Japan as well. What would it involve? Well, would it involve the Chinese launching a kind of a D-Day equivalent, like the Allied landing in World War II in France in 1944, landing ships arriving on the beaches of Taiwan? Not necessarily. I think the war in the Middle East has shown the way Iran has controlled the Strait of Hormuz, that the Chinese have other options around blockade. They have other options around embargoes. they have a possible mixture of techniques that they could use to try to compel a sitting Taiwanese president or government into some sort of submission that could choke off the island. There are a whole bunch of scenarios that could unfold, and it's quite hard, actually, for those who want to deter a Chinese invasion to actually prepare for all of them. But I think the bottom line does come down to this. What level of Chinese aggression would actually provoke a militarized reaction from the USA? And would the USA public be behind it? And would it happen under the watch of a US president who thinks this is something that's worthy of doing rather than cutting a deal with the Chinese to try to keep trade flowing?
So, Samir, just tell me, after this trip by Donald Trump to China, what do you think? Has he moved the US slightly away from its support of Taiwan?
I would say that Donald Trump and Xi Jinping have preserved the status quo over Taiwan. To the extent that we know from what they've said publicly, what's been recorded, how they've reported back, whether any words were exchanged privately is another matter. But I would say that at the moment, the Taiwanese would breathe a sigh of relief that no major changes took place with regards to this very delicate status quo.
Samir Puri is a visiting lecturer in war studies at King's College London and the author of Westlessness, The Great Global Rebalancing. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed, audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.